Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:03 p.m. Today is September 5th. We had a pullback on the Nasdaq in here today by about 100 points. It was the leading decliner in Wall Street. The Dow Jones, for example, was able to squeak out a positive return, but the vast majority of the indices did pull back in early trading and then retraced at least some of the decline. When we look at the Nasdaq, it is now testing the region, the upper side of the underlying range. We can see that there has been a narrowing of the trading band since June. We had a pullback at the end of June, and then it raced on to a new high and a higher reaction low subsequently, and then we've just had another run up to new highs. Well, the progression of higher reaction lows needs to remain intact if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. What we've also seen with these ranges since the beginning of April is that they've tended to dip into one another, so it might be asking too much for the index to find support in the region of the underlying trading range. The most recent higher reaction low resides in the region of about 7,317. So there is some additional scope for the index to pull back and still be within the context of this very consistent advance that we've seen since, or persistent, I think is probably a better term, advance since April. But I think it does behoove us to look at the weekly charts. This is really where we get some additional intelligence, because there is no denying that the pace of the advance has picked up since the beginning of 2017, and then there was this interlocution that we had at the beginning of this year with a much more volatile period and two sharp pullbacks to the region of the trend mean. Now, the moving average right now is approximating the 7,000 area, and there is the possibility that if the index does not find support soon, or within the next 150 points, that we are back in a reversionary type of environment. Well, one of the leading decliners in here today was Google, Alphabet, and it is now back in the region of $1,200. In fact, it closed below it. One of the defining characteristics of the trend for Google over the course of the last decade has been that there has been a succession of instances where it has found support in the region of the underlying trading range. And despite the fact that we had a much larger reaction in January and February this year, it did find support at 1,000, which had been the previous peak. So now the question is whether this $1,200 area is going to represent support. If it fails at this level, well, then the rehabilitation of the consistency of the trend will be started to be called into question, and then people will want to know whether it is going to find support in the region of the trend mean. And that trend mean is not particularly far away right now. It's only about $70 away, and for a $1,200 share, that's not an awful lot. So that is where I think some of the risk is. But of course, there is some big questions being asked, both about social media in general and then also by Google, that there is a certain amount of censorship that is going on, not least as they try to mitigate the threat of regulation from various political quarters because of the clear interference that has been demonstrated that originated from the social media platforms during the election. But when we look at, for example, Facebook, it was in negative territory in here today, and it is now back testing the lows that we saw immediately following its earnings announcement in early August. Perhaps more important than that is that it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. It has not done that before. That's something that is different. The very large key reversal that we saw from the peak, well, that is a medium-term peak of it, I think, at the very least. It's likely to translate into and this is a best-case scenario, a lengthy range, which would allow support to be rebuilt and for the changes that are going on internally in Facebook to come to fruition. But they may not get the chance. There is certainly some selling pressure coming through in these FANG shares. Twitter was also in negative territory in here today. It was also testifying on in Washington, and it has given up much of the advance it put in over the preceding month. Snapchat has been pulling back on successive days and is now at a new low, testing this $10 area, and that's a potential area of psychological support, but it really would want to be getting about demonstrating that there's support in that area, and they're not being grilled in Washington, but they do certainly have their own problems. But the largest share in the world, Apple, was well off its low for most of the day. It is overbought in the short term and therefore susceptible to some pause and consolidation. It was able to recoup, and I think it is worth looking in this case at the intraday chart. It recouped all of its decline about halfway through the session and then gave it up again towards the end of the day. Apple is buying back a record amount of its own shares, and that is at least part of the reason why the share has accelerated higher. Well, it currently has approximately $40 of fat relative to the trend mean that could get shaved off, and it would still be in a reasonably consistent trending environment. But the risk of some volatility is rising, considering that we have had this acceleration. Well, why is it that stock markets are experiencing this, I think, more selling pressure? Well, you're not seeing much of that selling pressure in the Russell, and part of the reason for that is because it is so much more focused on the domestic US economy. Therefore, what is happening outside of the domestic US economy is probably what is causing this angst on the major stock markets. Well, if we look at the emerging markets ETF, it was in negative territory in here today at a new closing low. Well, this has been a very persistent decline since the beginning of this year. The $50 area has been an area of resistance for much of the last decade, and it was confirmed resistant again up there at the beginning of this year, and this continues to represent a downtrend. Well, when we look at the leading decliners today, JD.com is accelerating lower and is now coming back down towards the lows seen back in 2015 and 2016. There's a lot of bad news has been priced in here because of key man risk. Well, this key man risk has been highlighted for a number of these overseas listed Chinese companies because of what are, I think, referred to as VIEs. And basically, what this means is that it's against the law for foreign investors to own controlling stakes in Chinese companies. So the mainland parent issues a license to the offshore entity to sell shares, and therefore it is foreign investors end up with those shares. But it is then the key man at the top that tends to dictate what in fact happens as being a Chinese national. But of course, if the head of JD.com ends up in prison and he's both the CEO and the chairman, well, that is going to create a vacuum, and that is part of the reason why it's pulling back. But of course, there's key man risk in a significant number of these Chinese companies. So Alibaba is now actually at a new closing low, and it has also demonstrated resistance in the region of the trend mean. I've been highlighting the decline in Tencent for what feels like a long time, but it was also at new closing lows in here today. So this continues to look like a significant downtrend, but most particularly the decline in Tencent mirrors that which we've seen in the emerging markets index, not least because it is the largest share in that index. The index also holds Naspers, and Naspers holds a big position in Tencent, so therefore it adds to the weighting of Tencent in the index. Well, we also continue to see that when, for example, we look at a Latin America closed-end fund, it might be like the BlackRock Latin America Investment Trust. This has type 2 top characteristics with developing right hand extension. It's been down on consecutive weeks and it is becoming back towards the region of the lows that we saw earlier this year, but there's precious little evidence that support has been found, and it really does need a clear upward dynamic. Well, the vast majority of this fund is in Brazil and Mexico, and that the weakness that we're seeing in the fund is not, I think, a million miles away from the weakness we're seeing in those respective currencies. That the Latin America dollar index has sustained a move down from the range that persisted for about 2.5 years, and then it encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it's now at new reaction lows. So, this pressure that is coming to bear on emerging market currencies has not yet abated, and the Asia dollar index has been somewhat more steady, but that's because China represents such a large weighting within it. There isn't an ex-China currency market index, to the best of my knowledge. And this particular index is about, well, considering that the Hong Kong dollar is pegged, then it gives it an undue influence. Well, when we look at some of the individual currencies, then the Philippine peso is one of the weakest, and it has been trending lower in a consistent manner against the dollar now for 5 years, and it was at a new low in here today. The Indian rupee is also still pushing on to new lows, and this is, if ranges are an explosion waiting to happen, well, it is certainly exploding downwards from this range. Then, if we look at the Indonesian rupiah, then it's also pushing on to new lows. That is contributing to some infrastructure projects getting cancelled in Indonesia. And then you also have the Jakarta Composite pulling back rather sharply from the region of the trend mean. This isn't something that we've seen in a while. In fact, the last time that the index encountered resistance in the region of the mean was in 2013, and even then, it was able to put in a higher reaction low and push back above it relatively soon afterwards. This doesn't look like a particularly bullish chart. It really has got a lot of work to do if it is going to repair some of the damage that's already been done. If we look at some of the poster childs for problems in the emerging markets, well then, the Argentine peso continues to hold this 40 area, and not least because interest rates are 60%. Then, when we look at the Turkish lira, it's also paused below 7, but it's not rallying by very much either. Then, if we look at what's going on in China has got some big outstanding questions. And right now in Beijing, there is this meeting going on between China and a significant number of African state heads. It was interesting that the president of Namibia told the Chinese to stop telling him what to do, which didn't make some headlines yesterday. But it does, I think, raise some questions about just how much money has been committed to the Belt and Road Initiative, and it's at least $1 trillion. Well, we know that China has foreign currency reserves in the order of about 3 to 4 trillion, but it has committed a significant quantity of those reserves to the Belt and Road Initiative. And then when we think about, well, if all that money has been committed to overseas investment, well, how much money has been committed to the banking sector? And the banking sector was down by about 300 points in here today, but it's in the region of the peak that we saw back in early August, and that was also a key reversal in early August. And now it's pulling back from that area again. I think the big question is whether the progression of higher reaction lows is going to be sustained. Then, if you look at the H share index, it's also been ranging and it's pulling back towards the lows again. So, when we, I think, then go and look at these weekly charts, these are not bullish charts. That we have had a significant run up to the 14,000 level and it failed, And then it pulled back below the trend mean. It has so far put in only a very modest rally, and has, it looks like a distribution prior to additional downside. And that, I think, is the big issue that we have now with what's going on in Europe. Europe is much more exposed to what's going on in Asia and in Latin America than the USA is. And the Euro Stoxx index of approximately 350 shares has been going sideways for a year already, and there has been something of a triangular shape to the trading that we've had so far this year. You've had the progression of higher reaction lows and the progression of lower rally highs, and the amplitude of the trading range has been contracting, but it looks like it is increasingly likely that this range is going to be resolved on the downside. So that does represent risk here. What I find particularly interesting is that we already know where some of the biggest decliners have been in Europe. Deutsche Bank is, I think, the worst performing share in the region. But what is also interesting is that at least Deutsche Bank has stopped going down. What is I find interesting is that RWE, the utility, has been the best performing share in Germany this year, and it came off a very low base. But the big question now is that this represents the lower side of that overhead trading range between 2011 and 2015, and the question is whether it can sustain this move above 20 euro. Adidas has been also one of the best performing shares, but it is pulling back in here this week. And more important than that, this is the third failed upside break. So one has to question whether this isn't a softening up process, that the share really did trend beautifully, consistently higher, particularly from the beginning of 2015. But then it has started to lose consistency, that the pullback from the middle of 2017 went right down below the trend mean. It tested the lows that we saw earlier in 2017, then it went all the way back up and failed, and now it's all gone all the way back up again, and it is potentially failing. So now the big question is whether that progression of higher reaction lows within this 18-month range is going to persist. And that's a big question for what has been one of the best performing shares in Germany over the course of the last few years. Then you also have what's going on with Daimler. The share has pulled back just about all year. Well, Amazon said today that they're buying 20,000 vans or trucks from Daimler for its delivery business, and that did nothing to support the share. And it's now back in the region of the 2016 lows. Well, the problem for automotive companies is because of the emissions cheating scandal, and the fact that everyone now has very little faith in the assertions that these companies are making, that they're all going for electric vehicles, and that's inordinately expensive. And that is weighing on the shares of just about all of them. So, for example, Volkswagen is relatively similar. Well, then you also have the fact, for example, that people are no longer buying sedan cars or buying considerably fewer of them in the USA. And Honda was the biggest producer of the most popular sedan, the Honda Accord, and it has seen sales declining. And well, again, if we look at this longer term chart, this is not a consistent chart. This is incredibly volatile. And hardly, if we just simply apply filter questions, is it trending or ranging? Well, it's definitely ranging, and the amplitude of the range is incredibly volatile. So it's very difficult to make money. It's sort of a do not come here signal from the perspective of a behavioral technical analysis. Well, Europe, therefore, I think if we simply look at the Euro Stoxx 50, it represents a risk that this range could be resolved on the downside. And The problem is that we haven't yet seen substantive evidence that the issues that have assailed the emerging markets have yet ended, and Europe is at risk of experiencing some additional selling pressure as a result of that. Then there is the additional point that you've had this really quite significant change that has occurred in terms of bond issuance. So what that is doing is when we think about the fact that companies had been dealing with the USA's very high corporate tax rate for a significant period of time, and the one of the primary ways they had of getting around it was to issue foreign denominated or foreign currency debt. So if they'd built up large quantities of cash piles from their profits in Europe, they were issuing euro denominated debt. They were taking the proceeds and bringing it home. And because that was the proceeds from a debt instrument rather than from profits, then it wasn't taxed. And that was their way of getting around the problem. And that debt issuance really took off in 2015, 2016, and 2017. And one of the biggest issuers of debt was General Electric. But you also had Qualcomm and Oracle and Microsoft and Johnson and Johnson and Apple were engaged in that kind of activity. Well, this year there's been none. It's not that they tailed back their issuance of debt. They just stopped issuing it because they have absolutely no need to do so. That they can bring back their wealth at very attractive levels. Well, all of that money coming back into the stock market or coming back into the USA is being deployed in the stock market. So that's a significant issue for Wall Street. That when, for example, we look at the trend on the S&P 500, then why is it that Wall Street has been able to march higher while just about everywhere else is having a much more difficult time of it? Well, the tax code change is a big part of that. It hasn't just boosted domestic demand, but it has been a really a siren call for all of that those cash piles to be brought home by multinationals. So when we look at the S&P 500, it's a big question is I think it's going to remain outstanding for at least the next while, is when is that repatriation going to be done? Because it's just a once-off. You can't continue to bring home hundreds of billions every year. It takes time to accumulate those kinds of reserves. Well, once they've repatriated all that money and bought back as many shares as they can, then where does the rest of it come from? Because when we think about and I think it is the PKW is a good way of thinking about this because it's an index of shares that buy back at least 1% of their market cap on an annual basis, on a rolling basis. And that index is not at new highs because the quantity of buybacks has certainly boosted, for example, Apple. It has not boosted all shares equally because the higher the price goes, the more money that is required to have the same influence to boost the price by the same percentage. And what that also helps to, I think, ram home is the point that this is a one-off for Wall Street, that the quantity of money available for buybacks is going to decrease next year. And that is likely to have a knock-on effect. Well, we just don't see any evidence of that in on Wall Street right now, and it has continued to march higher. We do not really have evidence of trend endings on Wall Street, but we have had acceleration. And for example, if we look at AMD, it has broken out of its range in incredibly impressive manner over the course of the last few months and pretty much doubled in the space of about 2 months. Well, I don't think it is beyond the bounds of possibility to expect some consolidation here. Then you have some of the shares that had been doing rather well And now we're starting to see some consolidation there. So Workday, for example, was down in a dynamic manner in here today and forming a downside Q reversal. It's coming right back to the upper side of that underlying range. It is almost exactly now where, if it's going to find support, then this is about where that needs to happen. But then if we look at the shares that are buying back in an aggressive manner, well, Qualcomm is buying back a lot of its shares and it is right at the upper side of its range. And but even there are short-term overbought conditions. The one anomaly is Amazon, because Amazon does not buy back its shares. It hasn't boosted its share buyback program in an awfully long time. Well, the share got up to $2,000 yesterday, or earlier this week, and it was down a little bit in here today. And it's been a while since we've seen a meaningful pullback in Amazon. The environment that we've had since April has seen reactions confined to approximately $100, and each of those has been one above another. Well, it does look like we're now into the next little consolidation, at least for Amazon. A reaction of more than $100 and a pushback below the $1,900 area would be required to question the consistency of the what is so far a just over 5 month advance. But the big question then would be when we get the next reversion back to the mean, whether it continues to bounce, because Amazon has got a history of getting way overextended and then pulling back in a violent manner. Well, it is almost $400 overextended relative to the trend mean right now. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some additional pullback. That would translate into a somewhat larger pullback on Wall Street as well. We do have short-term overbought conditions. The USA's immunity to selling pressure elsewhere is not going to remain indefinite. But the big question is, how long is the dollar going to rally for? Because as long as the dollar is rallying, it is likely to add a tailwind to demand for US equities. Well, the dollar was in somewhat negative territory in here today, but it is still holding the progression of higher reaction lows, and it is still above the trend mean. The pound was a little bit steadier in here today, and that was on enthusiasm that some form of deal will be reached. It's certainly in the EU's interests not to have the UK crash out without a deal. That would greatly or that would create an incentive within the UK to compete on a regulatory front as well as on a tax front, and Europe certainly doesn't want that. So it's in Europe's interests to drive a tough deal, but certainly not to let the UK leave without a deal. But this very much sit, or I think, hangs in the balance, and the move that we saw in the pound versus the euro today was a great deal of volatility to change, pretty much unchanged. So a close unchanged, I should say. So the progression of higher reaction lows of the euro against the pound remains intact, and as long as that remains intact, then the outlook is for a somewhat uncertain environment. If the progression of higher reaction lows is broken, it's likely to be because the market is anticipating that the UK and the EU are coming to some form of agreement. Well, the gold price was reasonably steady in here today, and it continues to hold around the $1,200 area, and it has been able to continue to hold the rebound off the lows that we saw in the middle of August. But the progression of lower rally highs remains intact. Silver prices had broken downwards yesterday, but they have not bounced just yet. So this succession of ranges one below another remains intact. Then copper prices have been coming down in a rather dynamic manner. They have also steadied a little in here today, but again, not in a particularly dynamic manner. Well, we can certainly say that there is a short-term oversold condition, and if it can continue to hold the 260 area, well, then that would be a higher reaction low, but it really needs to get above the $2.75 area to break the progression of lower rally highs, and even then, that would only suggest that we're in a reversionary rally back up towards the mean. Having had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, then it really is for the bulls to prove that copper prices can hold their low. What is starting to get interesting is the in some of the soft commodities are in livestock. So, for example, the second month continuation chart for lean hogs has been able to hold its low and is back testing its recovery peak, but the front end is sorry, I'm not typing very well there. The front month is back testing its low and just beginning to demonstrate some support. The slaughter schedule contract changes occur at the end of this month, and you're already starting to see some of the liquidity moving into the December. So that generally translates into a change in pricing, where you generally do have a lot of seasonality in the commodities or in the lean hogs market. You get a lot of very choppy action around the contract changes because of that slaughter schedule. What is also interesting is that Robusta coffee is trading in a backwardation. Well, excuse me, that's not true. I was looking at the wrong contract when I looked at that. The Robusta is still trading in contango, but the price is looking really very overextended, and here also we've had a contract change. So when we look at the front month contract, which is November, it has really become very overextended on the downside, falling from 1700 at the beginning of July to a recent low at a lot closer to 1465. So today was the first sign of a rally holding through the full close of the session. We haven't seen that, haven't seen a rally of this size since at least the middle or the end of July. So there is the potential for some of this short-term oversold condition to be unwound, and Arabica coffee is back above the 100-cent level. Again, I think it is important to look at the front month contracts because of the contract changes that have occurred recently. We're into the December now, and at 100 cents has demonstrated some support. So I think what we've seen is a lot of selling pressure starting to come through in the commodity complex, but value is starting to be reasserted, and that is also going to be the case in the emerging markets, but not until we see some steadying in the respective currencies. There is very tentative evidence that the Argentine peso has at least stabilized around 40, but it certainly hasn't rallied, and there are still big outstanding questions. The other point, of course, is that governance is a very important characteristic. It really does need to be seen to be getting better. And when we look at what's going on in South Africa, then the big question is whether governance really is improving, and that's after Ramaphosa has taken over. So these are big questions. They have not yet been answered. So therefore, this does represent a more risky environment. It does hold out the prospect that that Wall Street may not be able to continue to hold on to its relative strength, that we may be entering a period of some consolidation of what have been very powerful gains. But as long as the Wall Street is holding the region of the trend mean and the dollar remains reasonably firm, then that exceptionalism is likely to be given the benefit of the doubt. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.